Do you consider yourself middle-aged, which according to a recent survey extends from 40 to 69 years of age, according to some people? Whatever age you are you in denial about the prospect of midlife, or are you refusing to acknowledge you've even hit midlife, let alone begin to embrace the opportunities that we think midlife presents? Welcome to Talk On to Walk On, and the first episode in a new series we've created called Midlife Muddle. Those regular listeners will recall us asking our recent guests about their midlife mindset, and we had some brilliant answers. But given our respective ages of 51 and 57, Patrick and I thought it was about time that we shared our own midlife perspectives and experiences. Our plan is to talk about topics which touch us all as we navigate through what should be a transformational stage of our lives. Now, I may be wrong, but I've never actually heard anyone say, I can't wait to get to 40, I can't wait to get to 50, I can't wait to get to 60. However, midlife can bring real opportunity if we have the courage to make changes. However, sometimes when we make those changes, the old adage of having a midlife crisis really doesn't help when it comes to putting a positive mindset spin on life after 40. We want to put a dent in that old-fashioned thought process. We want to contribute to those who are working to change the imagery and the negative narrative that can often result in many midlifers gradually giving up on what life has to offer. Even if you're not close to 40, please do still listen. Please prepare yourself for when 40 comes knocking on your door. Then in future episodes, we'll take a more deep dive into habit changes, physical and mental well-being, careers, and even how relationships alter in midlife. As always, we'll be underpinning our messages with reminders about how the power of meaningful conversations can contribute to our midlife mindset reset. So let's talk on to walk on, and let's see where it leads. So, Patrick, are you ready for this? Are you ready for us to expose ourselves and our midlife thoughts? Come on, I know you love this topic. You keep going on to me saying you're going to live forever. But really, let's get realistic. What does midlife actually mean to you?
Well, yeah, I don't know about exposing ourselves, but that would be a little bit too forward.
Certainly at our age.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. What does midlife mean to me? Well, you know, the main thing is that I don't feel old. I'm 57, but I don't feel that I'm 57, you know, and whether that's in my head or in my body, I don't feel as if I'm old, which is, I guess, is the main thing. For me, that's the main thing.
No, but wouldn't people say you are old? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I think probably kids would probably say you were old.
Look at my hair. Look at my hair. You can't actually see I'm balding on the top. I'm 57. But yeah, of course I'm old. I'm old by, chronologically I'm old. And but what I'm saying is I don't feel old. Inside of me, I don't feel old. And I feel blessed that I've got to this age without feeling old. It's only really when I think back at my life and what's happened, where I've lived around the world, the jobs I've had, the family I've brought up, my marriages, that all of those life experiences make me then think, wow, I must be old because all of this has happened. It's something that I don't really worry about, but I think the one impact it's had on me, and it's had tons, but I'll mention just one before we sort of get into our, you know, proper conversation about it, is that I find myself living my life now a lot more intentionally. I think I'm much more conscious, and I hope I'm not contradicting myself. I feel I'm much more conscious of my age and potentially how many decades of my life I've got remaining, and the fact that, you know, you've really got to live your life and take advantage of whatever you can, and be conscious and purposeful in whatever you do, and try not to let life drift by too much. And you know, we can unpack that. There's lots of sort of layers to that in terms of why that should be the case and so on. But I think in terms of how I feel and then how I lead my life. I think that's pretty much it. But I know you don't like the term, even though here we are recording a podcast by midlife, you don't actually like the term midlife. So
no, I don't like any labels, to be honest. I've never really, even just you saying I'm old, I just get no, you're not. And I don't know whether it's just my stubbornness to just push back against how society gives us labels. But, you know, midlife, I just think it's another label, isn't it? And with that, whether you're saying you're old or you're a midlife or whatever, even the Gen Z and all those sorts of terms, it comes with stereotypical imagery, doesn't it? A narrative of what people, how you're expected to either behave or, you know, in good and bad ways. And normally it comes with negative connotations, I think. And I think midlife is what definitely one of those phrases. I mean, I always try, and we try and live by, you know, what there's a saying where you're as old as you feel, or that kind of thing, or, you know, what age would you be if you didn't know your age? You know, how would you behave? And it's just we try and just, maybe I'm in denial. I think I was definitely in denial. I mean, I can't believe I'm post 50 now, you know.
When you say it has negative connotations, I think you're absolutely right, because I've said this before, that if you Google something like midlife, then the word crisis is almost always attached to it, or in terms of search results. Mm. And that shouldn't be the case, because there is so much to celebrate in midlife. There are lots and lots of positives, and hopefully we're going to come and talk about some of the positives of being in midlife. But you're right, it is a label. Sometimes I feel, you know, when I see newspaper articles talking about aimed at somebody in their 50s or aimed at somebody in their 40s, I think that's marginally better, because I feel, well, okay, that's where I am. That's the reality. I'm 57, therefore I'm in my 50s. So if I see something that is aimed at people in their 50s, I'll look at it or read it. But the other thing about the term midlife is that I can't remember in your introduction, you talk about it spanning from 40 through to your 60s, i.e. through to 69. And that's a massive range, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's actually there's less people are saying 69, but some people do say 69. But I just think that's a sign of the times. I think the actual, I think it's 62. The majority of people think of it as 62. I mean, I don't know how they do these surveys, but even so, I just do think that we need to be just acting how we feel. But I think when we're labeled, we consciously have to fight back against the negative connotations that comes with those labels. And therefore, in midlife, you have to make a conscious decision about how you're going to embrace it, as opposed to let it slow you down. I mean, let it, you know, there's a connotations of sort of being slower, saggier all over, you know, brain fog. You know, our physical and mental ability isn't quite what it was. And yet that is the case. That's just natural how we evolve. But there's so much we can do to fight that process. It's not even a fight. It's just, again, I just honestly think it's a mindset. Mm. And we together, you know, we both acknowledge that we've had an opportunity to almost start again with us being in our second marriage. And I think that's blessed us really, because it's given us a chance to obviously get to know each other still, but also for us to talk about, well, you know, if we're going to really make this work, what is it? How do we want to live together? How do we want to live our lives together? You know, we really appreciate the time that we have together, because we met later on in life and we want to make the most of that. So I think that gave us a good starting point, as well as being incredibly busy with our lives, for us to actually hit midlife and actually not really think about it until properly and fully, perhaps until I hit 50. And then we really did start to hone in on things that we could do to enhance our lives, as opposed to let the aging process kick in and we just succumb to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And the other thing is that we do we talk a lot, don't we? We talk a lot to each other and we have those conversations. Yeah. And having those conscious conversations, I think, is very, very healthy and helpful in terms of tackling some of these things head on and deciding together how to deal with them. Now, if there are listeners who aren't in a relationship with somebody, that's more difficult. Mm. But there are people to talk to and there are people to have those conversations with. And it you know, what you're saying is also part of this deliberate way of trying to live your life. And when we, I think the message, one of the messages that we want to get out to people of a younger generation, maybe people in their 30s who haven't even entered midlife, is that, you know, going through that door of 40 and progressing is something, it's something to look forward to, even though, you know, the narrative nowadays is not to look forward to it, to look forward to it, to celebrate it and be prepared. And if you're prepared as to what life sort of throws at you at that age, you can do something about it, whether it's about your mental health, whether it's about your physical health, your financial well-being, your relationships. Things do, as you mature, things do get tricky, but there are ways of dealing with them. There are ways of preparing for them.
Yeah. I think the narrative, I mean, I know we've talked about the negative narrative and it's still very much negative, but I do think there's a lot of pushback now. You know, certainly much more recently, there's been articles and certainly from a female perspective, I'm much more conscious of it, obviously, that, you know, people letting their hair grow grey, they're embracing wearing less makeup. There's a whole campaign around, you know, getting tattoos, you know, more earrings, that kind of thing. It's becoming like women are just becoming a little less confined in their attitudes, and it's becoming much more acceptable, I think, to do slightly, I mean, it's not really rebellious, but I'll use that term for now, slightly more rebellious, take more rebellious action in their midlife. You know, there's so many, there's icons out there like your Helen Mirren. I mean, I don't know how old Helen Mirren is. I think she might even be 70, I'm not sure, but women, fabulous women like her, that I saw the other day just, you know, walking the catwalk in this fabulous outfit. But it wasn't just what she was wearing and how she looked. It was the attitude she had. You know, she's like, here I am. Here I am. And I am not invisible. And I am going nowhere. Okay, she's Helen Mirren. But if we could just all just take a little bit of that and bottle it, then I'm all for it. So I do think the narrative is changing and I want to be part of that. You know, we both do, don't we?
That's right. And those are examples of people celebrating life. And, you know, celebrities are often great role models and people to aspire to. And that has to be positive. In fact, in preparing for this, I did some digging around in terms of digging around, not in the garden, on the interweb. About the sort of things that people worry about when they get into midlife. And I jotted some down. I'll just have to refer, because I'm getting old, I can't remember all these things. So I'm gonna have to refer to my coffee list. But people worry about their parents getting older and the need to look after them. People worry about their kids leaving home and having to become independent and so on. Some people worry about their own physical health, about we find this as well. You know, you sometimes go through periods where you lack energy and so on. You need a little bit of a boost up, but that sort of energy and enthusiasm and passion for life, people worry about sort of losing that. Some argue, and this is I hear two sides of the story. Some people say that it's a time of life where you're financially most stretched. But then I think some people say in the latter stages of midlife, you're actually financially more secure, but people's experience is different. And then you get some niggling health issues. You might be disillusioned with your job. All of these, or the majority of these things, people suffer from one or more of, or they experience one or more of. But I think there are little strategies and that you can adopt and habits you can pick up and how to deal with a lot of these perceived or actual things that people face in midlife. And I'd like to think that's the object of this is the small part that we're playing in putting out this episode and the future episodes on this topic. Yeah. is talking about what those little habits or strategies and things will be so that we can all become people who can celebrate being in midlife, and there's more celebration of the achievements you've had so far in your life, and rather than the struggles that you're necessarily going through.
Yeah, I think, and we're going to talk about habits, I think, in a future episode, and a lot of this, I think we're going to try and break it down, aren't we, to get doing a deeper dive into habits, into sort of nutrition and physical health and careers, all those things you've just touched on, and even relationships with friends and family and parents and kids. But it is all part of life. And I think it just all seems to come at once. Perhaps, it's inevitable. Our parents are getting older. And we often have to, we've got friends of ours who've just been through a really awful time with both sets of parents. And it's heartbreaking watching them. We've lost both our parents, but we do have older relatives. We went through that at an earlier phase, and we were almost, I'm not saying we're blessed with that experience, but we can now have real empathy with those who are going through it. But at the same time, they're going through it older, and that makes it harder, I think, in a strange kind of way and in a different kind of way. And I think what we can do is just, I think that the key to it all is just take time for yourself and do some real reflection. So almost reflecting back on how far you've come, and then also go, where am I now? And where do I still want to get to? It's not necessarily a spiral. And like you say, put things in place and be ready for when, pardon the expression, the shit hits the fan, so you're in a stronger place, and almost you can never be fully ready, but at least you've made some changes in your life. And that comes from changing, potentially starting with doing a life, I would say, with my coaching clients, starting with sort of a mini life audit, looking at your life. Obviously, acknowledging your successes, I think, is a great place to start, but also getting to where you are now and going, right, let me look at my relationships. Let me look at my habits. Let me look at my career. Okay, you might not want to do them all at once. Let me look at my nutrition. Let me look at my physical health. Just take one of them. That would be a starting point if you were completely starting from scratch. Just take one and think, which right at this moment, if I make the smallest change, can make the biggest difference. And this is the type of thing that we're going to be sort of diving into more in future episodes.
Absolutely. And I think that sort of life audit allows people to get right in their own head how to cope, how to manage going forwards. Definitely a realization, focusing on the things that they have achieved in their life so far, means that you sort of enter that sort of thought process with a positive mindset. Because for each of those, that list I read out in terms of what people struggle with and what people find difficult in midlife, there are positives. Relationships, for example, your relationships in midlife are arguably a lot more meaningful. And physically, there isn't a reason why you can't try to start living your life in a way that slows down your biological aging. I'm not talking about Benjamin Button reversing it. I'm just saying trying to lead. Yeah. And we've made attempts in that area that I'm sure in a future episode when we're talking about nutrition and physical and mental health, we'll talk about that sort of stuff. But it's, again, it's something that you can do to address something that would otherwise be a negative, and you can turn it to a positive.
And it's actually a really fascinating topic if you've got the time. I mean, it's actually a bit, can be at times a little bit head battering, because the information out there can be massively overwhelming. And that's why I would always just taking the step to consciously make the time to look at some of this stuff is a big step. And that would be definitely my first bit of advice, and what where the big change started for me. And we were blessed, not that I always say blessed is the wrong term, but from my own personal experience of lockdown, setting aside all the awful stuff that came with that, from my personal perspective, and I know from a lot of other people's perspective, that time to pause at our age came at an absolutely fortuitous time. Mm. That's the right word. And that I knew that if I didn't take the time to suddenly start putting myself first and looking at my life and how I felt about things and my own physical and mental health, it was actually life-changing for me. But also, I had to break habit of a lifetime of not putting myself first. And I think that's a real starting point and a struggle for certainly people who've hit midlife. You've got to change habits that you've had for many, 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 many years. You know, you've got consciously got to pause. And that's why we always say, just do one at a time. Just do one at a time, do one thing. And if you do that one thing and master that, it gives you space to let more new habits evolve and create, you know, you can address them. And for example, you know, all these things, nutrition, go in the gym, whatever it is that it is you want to do, just take the time to do one. You may be in a place where you can do more, and that's great. But certainly as a midlifer, I found that I was like, I can't just do it overnight. And I would get frustrated with myself. I was like, why can't I do it? But it really did involve a mindset reset. And it was daily practices of shifting my mindset to actually put me first. I had to do that before I could actually make some changes.
You're absolutely right that we were certainly, we don't like using the word lucky, fortuitous, which is almost the same. But, the 2019 when we got married and then early 2020 was locked down. That timing worked for us, and we were fortunate enough to have that. But a lot of people will know, reading the newspapers, that there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of individuals mainly in their 50s who left full-time work or became, in the government's words, economically inactive. And a big proportion of those people did that out of choice, because lockdown gave them an opportunity to reevaluate, you know, to use the cliche, their work-life balance. But I like to think about it is just reevaluating their life at that time, at that snapshot in time. What was their life about? And for the remaining, again, decades of their life to come, how they want to spend it. I know something that you've talked to me about in terms of how people choose to spend their time. You know, clearly, some people have to choose to spend their time to have paid work, and we have paid work and so on. But that little adage, I think you called it peace, profit, and or purpose.
Yeah, I read that.
I forgot where you read it, but
how you spend your time, energy, and attention.
Exactly. So make sure that it's accomplishing one of those. And yeah. if it's not accomplishing one of those, your time is better spent elsewhere. So does it give you peace? Does it deliver you profit? And that profit doesn't have to be financial profit. It just meant to be a reward of some kind. Is it one that fulfills a purpose, an outcome? I mean, until you mentioned it, I'd never thought of it that way. But I bet that for many of those hundreds of thousands of people in their 50s who've chosen not to go back to full-time work, that would resonate with them. They've taken the opportunity to have a pause. And this is where they've chosen not to go back to work. They've elected to take a pause and to reevaluate what's important for them in their lives. And I think that's great. And I think that, you know, more people need the opportunity to pause so that they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And we've noticed, I've never been so consistent in my gym attendance. And it's for the last 18 months, 2 years, you know, it's become a real fundamental part of my life. And it hasn't been about physical image, although, you know, I could do with a slightly smaller stomach or whatever. It's been about strengthening my body, because I've always had, I've never been physically incapable, but I've always, struggled with my back, and you know, it had a big impact on my work and my lifestyle. Quietly so. It's not something I've ever, you know, unless you lived with me, you probably wouldn't know. But that was a big decision for me as part of those changes, wasn't it? And what we've noticed, just coming back to your point about midlifers, is that we look around and there's a lot of people our age in the gyms at different times of day. And life has really dramatically changed for a lot of midlifers. And I'd like to think that they've gone through something similar that we have, and that they are starting to put themselves first. You know, they are starting to look at their physical and mental health and actually can do something about it consistently, and not just think, I've got to do it from an image perspective, because I've actually got to do it from a longevity perspective, because I want to get older but still be able to embrace what life has to offer, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because obviously in the gym, yeah, there are people who are going there, you know, in their teens and 20s or whatever, to push heavy weights and to build a body and look good. And there are others, older folk like us, who are clearly going to, whether it's yoga or Pilates, where there's definitely an element of it, which is mental health as well and mental well-being.
Yeah. So, and historically, I'd never really connected it to. I'd always thought, oh, people just go there to. I mean, I wasn't that blasé about thing. I just, to be honest, I didn't think that much about it. But I just never made the time for it. Mm. I never made the time for it because I didn't appreciate how much it did affect your mental health, you know. And it's probably a reason why, because I didn't do it, I probably did struggle even more. But my back used to really get me down, but I would just avoid it, thinking, because I was frightened to do stuff to make it worse, you know. And it was like this cycle. And because I've just taken that small step every time, I haven't gone in doing running, I haven't gone in doing massive weights, and I'm still not really doing that, but I am consistently going to do Pilates and yoga. Mm. And I've sat there and I've been at the back with tears in my eyes going, I can't do it, but I've kept going. And now I'm not frightened to be at the front, you know, and it's just, and I feel like I've really made some progress, and certainly been able to sit here like this, you know. There was times, you know, Patrick, I wasn't able to just sit. I wasn't able to sit and watch Netflix during lockdown comfortably and whatever else, but that impacted my mental health. So for me, I knew that that was one element of my life that I had to make. There was lots of elements, but I thought, there's no point in me going to a counsellor, and there's no point in me walking my dog and whatever, if I then don't actually tackle the big thing that really massively gets me down. But it took me years to realise that it's just consistent effort and putting myself first and going, on those days when I'm tired and I don't want to go, I now know that I have to go, because it makes a difference to myself physically and then ultimately myself mentally. So that's one example. And we, you know, we will talk about more, that was a real mindset shift for me, you know, after years of just thinking, I've just got to get on with it, I've just got to live with it, I've just got to deal with it. But actually, I hadn't truly appreciated the massive mental health impact that it had on me, and how much it got me down and how much I struggled with it until I've started to come out the other side.
Yeah, it was a big thing for you to say, right, I've got to sort my back out. You knew it would take, you know, you had to persevere and really focus on it. And wow, it made a massive difference. It has made a brilliant, amazing difference that I've seen. So, yeah, good on you.
Thank you. But obviously, you know, that was just one thing of many jigsaw pieces that we've both tackled in the last few years, isn't it? And the key to all of it is being slightly courageous. But you only get courageous when you do start putting yourself first. And actually can become quite addictive. You know, when you start putting yourself first, you start to feel, I don't know, and you see the results from that, you start to feel a bit more empowered, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think midlife gives us, if we consciously make decisions to put us, think, you know what, I've done all this for so many years, it's time for me. If ever there was a time for you to say, I just need to take some time for me, it's midlife. And I think certainly for us, addressing all these different pieces of the jigsaw: nutrition, physical health, mental health, you know, even our sleep and our stress. All these things contribute to creating and being able a better life and a stronger foundation to take us forward into older age, in my opinion.
You do have to be brave. You do have to be brave, and you use the word courageous, you know, fearless, and that sort of thing, because it is all about resetting your way of life, your habits, the way you choose to prioritize yourself and those that you love as well. It requires you making difficult choices. You know, if you take a job, for example, somebody in their 50s who is in a job which they're disillusioned with, it's very, very difficult at that age. It is a massive thing to give that job up or to throw the towel in, whatever. But that's where the really conscious thinking to, you know, do you want to spend another 3, 4, 5 years being miserable and not being fulfilled and so on? Or can you actually be brave and leave that job, even if you then go into something that's part-time? It's just an example. I think that it does require more bravery to make some of these types of decisions when you're in your 50s, because there's a self-preservation and sort of cautiousness that comes into people as they get older. People do generally, I think the default is to become more cautious in the way you live your life as you get older. But what we're sort of advocating in a conscious and considered and deliberate way is to be a little bit more fearless and a bit more courageous and do what's right for you in your life.
Yeah. But as we know, everybody's lives have so many different elements to them and often so many different complications. But it's the key is to take the time to reflect and really do that life audit if you can, and just think about how far you've come, what you've achieved, and what you want for your life, what you want your life to look like in the future, and what steps you're going to take to make those changes. And obviously, from a female perspective, I think, you know, we're trying to come at it from both female and male perspective, but obviously we still haven't mentioned the M word, which is the menopause. And again, what a huge factor that is for women in their 50s in particular. It was late 40s for me when I started going through those difficult changes. And they were difficult because, first of all, I was in complete denial about it. But it's only now when I look back, I realise how difficult it was. But again, those conversations are now happening. I would like to think, I know there's lots of fabulous women and men out there who are banging the drum to get companies and employers to acknowledge the difficulties in particular that women face at what should be an incredible time in their career, you know, when they're hitting the top or whatever. And even if they're not, it needs to be acknowledged that we go through a massive transformational change, and it affects us all in all different ways. That was definitely in the mix in my jigsaw puzzle of making changes in our life.
And I think that men get affected indirectly through the menopause because we have female partners who are suffering from it, or friends and so on. And we haven't got a good track record of being conscious of it and being knowledgeable and being sympathetic. Mm. And I think it's increasingly an area where men do have to acknowledge and play much more of a supporting and understanding role. Sort of related to that, though, and picking up on something you were saying earlier, because we're talking about midlife and it is such a wide range of from 40 through to your 60s, you know, we wouldn't ever dare to suggest that everybody could address all of the sort of things that we're talking about in terms of well-being, and, you know, whether it's financial, career, physical, mental, whatever, kids, parents, because at a snapshot in time, people are in different places, and there are clearly going to be areas of people's lives that can't be addressed at that particular point in time, and it's not appropriate for whatever reason to address it. So it is down to, I think, all of us to understand that the range of solutions and tactics and things that we could do to start putting some of these things, start addressing some of these things. And yeah, the ones that are let's say more difficult for good reasons to crack, yeah, don't beat yourself up. And maybe slow down and put your energy on some of the low-hanging fruit in terms of getting other things in your life in order. Because everybody is in a different stage in their lives.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what we're just almost going to try and, talk through what we've been through, what helped us. This is all going to be in future episodes. We've hinted at quite some of it here. But almost what I describe as having your own little toolkit or your toolbox. Mm-hmm. Because every day, going for a walk will massively help you, because that's a huge fact thing for us. We have our dogs and, they keep us so grounded and present. Mm-hmm. But some days, I'd say most of the time, it definitely helps me without a doubt. But some days, something's going on in your life and you just, nothing will help other than just sticking your head under the duvet and wanting to go to sleep. We're all still going to have those days. There's no perfect fix, but that walk will have helped me a bit, or the long cold shower might have helped me a bit, or doing hacking in the way in the garden might have helped me a bit, a podcast, or having a chat with a close friend who's incredibly supportive, us to even pour in a glass of wine. We're not perfect. We still we still go to the booze cupboard every now and again, if we're feeling a bit tense, and that's something that we're still conscious of. And so nobody's perfect, but just these small things can make the biggest difference. And I honestly didn't think that way 10 years ago. I didn't make the time to think that way. But honestly, if you just find what works for you, it can make the smallest things can honestly make the biggest difference to help you get through those tough times. It really can. And that's what we're advocating, isn't it?
I'm actually looking forward to having those conversations with you and talking through some of these things.
What works well? Are you sure?
In future episodes, the proof is we're recording this one. We haven't recorded those future episodes yet.
No.
We've got a good idea of what we're going to be talking about, and I think it's going to be I'm going to enjoy taking part.
Yeah. I'm excited. And what we'll do to end, and I'm going to redo a David Bowie quote, because who's not going to listen to him, right? And I read that he said, aging is an extraordinary process whereby you become the person you always should have been. Now, we'll leave the listeners with that one. And maybe that's where we can pick up in the next episode. Okay, so we certainly hope that some of that has helped you. Patrick and I are looking to really share our experiences on midlife. We want to help you get through this midlife muddle, as we've called it. And here's to future episodes where we take a deeper dive into our experiences. And we really, truly hope that it'll make an impact. We really do, don't we, Patrick?
Yep, and I'm looking forward to those conversations. I really am.
Here's to the midlife muddle.
Indeed.